get Diane online or onto our radio program. But I want to let you guys know we're glad that you came today and checked out our radio show. My name is Mary Angelini, and I am the chairwoman or one of the chairwomen of the IWFFA, and hopefully soon Diane will be joining us as well. She is the president and founder of the IWFFA, and if you guys don't know it already, the IWFFA is the International Women's Flag Football Association. And at any time, you can check out our website. It's www.iwffa.com. And just in a few minutes, let's hopefully get Diane on the phone. And just give me 1 minute. All right, while we're waiting for her, let me get some stuff through. When she gets through, let me just go over some things. You can always check us out on Twitter if you're a Twitter user. Our Twitter name is IWFFA. So please follow us. We'll follow you back. We try to keep updated on the most recent women's sports / football / flag football events, as well as we chat with others. Women's sports organizations on Twitter. If you go to Facebook, we're on Facebook as well. You just search IWFFA, and we have two different categories. If you are under the age of 18, you can join the Girls of the IWFFA group, or if you're above the age of 18, you can join the IWFFA official Facebook group. And there you're going to receive information about all of our events, and just keep really up to date. Although we do send out newsletters monthly, you'll really get up to date information on our Facebook. Also, one more thing I want to let everyone know is that a very special lady I'm calling out to. Her name is Lex, and she serves in the United States Army, and right now she's stationed in Iraq. And she's actually one of my teammates, and she woke up an hour early this morning, Iraq time, to listen. So hello, Lex, we love you, we miss you, and we cannot wait for you guys to come home safe. And Diane's kissing, lots and lots of oh, and she's got a big heart. I'm watching her right now. She's base. Diane, are you there?
Not, oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm all, it only took me a little while.
Well, right now, Diane and I are, I just taught her this new thing on our Mac where we can talk through a video camera. It's, you know, the newest up-to-date thing is talking through the camera on our computers. So now that we've kind of gotten introductions out of the way, Diane?
Hey. What were you talking about, Mary, though? I'm sorry because I just got on when you mentioned the last few sentences. Did I miss anything?
No, I was just basically telling our listeners where to check out our website. We also have a Twitter, which is IWFFA on our Twitter. Facebook, search IWFFA. I mean, really, if you go anywhere on the internet and search the letters IWFFA, you'll find us.
And don't forget, and that's great that you're telling everybody to find out more info about the IWFFA, but just last night we downloaded YouTube some really great videos, games that we have. They could check out our games, and they're great edited action shots. So anyone who wants to see really good flag football, it's not the kind of flag football shots you see someone at a distance and then you see the two teams competing. It's the kind of flag football action shots where they zoom in and you can see the sweat on the eyebrow. So it's a really good shot. Mary, were we going to start talking about some of the topics that some of our players had suggested we talk about?
Or yeah, we've got. I'm sorry. We've got about 6 different topics tonight. The main one, which I've been hearing a lot of talk about, I know at my flag football practice, is the LFL, which is the Lingerie Football League, and we're going to get to that a little bit later this evening, as well as professionalizing the sport of flag football, the Scandinavian tournaments that Americans can attend, the World Challenge that the IWFFA sponsors, the Kelly McGillis Classic, which is the largest tournament, international tournament in the world, and additionally, which I find a little bit closer to my heart, is the girls' flag football gaining in popularity. So those are that's what we're going to be talking tonight, and I guess we can start off with the girls' flag football, Diane.
Well, why does the girls' flag football touch your heart?
Well, that's how I really started. That's where I learned how to play football. That's where I learned the game and the rule of football. My parents, my father, my brother were really into baseball, and I didn't really like that very much. It wasn't my thing, although I was athletic and I picked up on it. It wasn't something that I really pursued or continued. However, my high school, because of, what is it, title, I'm so bad at this the legal thing, Title IX, my county schools required us to have an equal male team to female varsity team. So our district decided that we were going to have a women's flag football team. Starting from scratch, I learned how to throw a ball, and I didn't even understand the different markers on the field. I mean, literally,
Mary,
I watched
Mary.
Football.
Mary, yes. What year are we talking about, and how old were you?
Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe I was 13 or 14. That must have been maybe like 1998, 99. But it goes close to my heart because I've been playing for a while, as opposed to most women who I play with have started after or during college. Are you there, Diane?
I'm here. Oh, you want me to? And I thought you were going to still say some more. Sorry. And it's funny. I had to ask what year, 1998, because I actually started in 1978. So I have we're a generation apart. And then you mentioned about when you mentioned girls flag football, the first thing that I think of the big difference with today and a generation ago is that the girls do have an opportunity to learn how to play the game at a younger age when, you know, they're not afraid to tumble and dive and they're more playful. And they also, once they learn the sport, they get the chance to develop their skills for that much longer. I'll never forget when I was in Denmark in the late 90s, introducing flag football to them, and they never saw an oval-shaped ball because soccer's their thing, it's a round ball, or handball is their thing, and that's a round ball. And I swear to God, when I showed them this is the ball that we used, they were like, it's like as if they were up in Mars. Ooh. Wow, I swear to God. And they were, like, just tossing it to each other. And so it's interesting when you're a woman or when you're a young child and then where you go from there. But I got to tell everybody, too, we had just recently changed the rules for our girls. The IWFFA had used one set of rules for girls and women. And our girls begins at from age 8 to 14 is the girls' division. The junior division is from 14 to 17, which we realize is a huge gap. But until we get so many teams competing, can we break down for a fair competition? Mary Angelini was one of the strong supporters of modifying the rules so that they do not use blocking. And that in 2010, we're going to use screen blocking, 8-on-8, and everyone is an eligible receiver. And so for me, as the founder of this organization, I'm going to be very interested to see where that takes us. Mary, where do you think it's going to, the effect it's going to have on the organization?
Well, I see that because the IWFFA has definitely unique rules when it comes to playing flag football with having the contact element and allowing all different types of athletes, athletic bodies and athletes to compete on the field as opposed to the more 7-on-7 running game. The long passes, you have to have a good arm and some long legs, and you'll do very well. As opposed to our rules are a lot more physical, and we allow different sizes to really compete and I guess enjoy the game a little bit better. I guess and the thing is that the popularity is in the high schools and in the colleges is the 7-on-7 game. So I think that us kind of not changing the rules, but kind of bridging that gap between the 7-on-7 rules and our more inclusive rules of the 8-on-8 contact. That's what I see. I see that there's a lot of growth.
I want to share something. Last year we had a group of parents from another league in Florida. Their league uses the non-contact. They were the ones who gave the suggestion for us to go to non-contact for the girls. And, I guess it's because, in general, when you think of your daughter playing flag football, some parents might hesitate because for various reasons. The reality is, whether you think it's too rough for your daughter or not, I don't know why a parent would deny the daughter the chance to play with blocking. But the reality is, these girls at the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they don't really go out there and block. They're really, when they play flag football, they're so focused on just trying to catch the ball, or they don't follow the plays the way they're supposed to. They're so young, and it's such a new sport for them that that never was a problem, blocking for the girls. It never was so rough. And I think a lot of parents might automatically think that with the blocking rules, it's going to be too rough for the daughters. And that's not the case. But for me, and Mary, you know this, I always thought it was a compromise taking the blocking away from the young girls, because I think that in a controlled environment, as on the field, it's a wonderful opportunity to challenge any human being the chance to push, block, shove one other person you're up against to practice that. So that when you get off the field in the real world, you will be more aggressive, more assertive, and transfer those skills, et cetera. So for me, I'm not sure if we compromised the IWFFA or if we did a brilliant thing by bringing in more girls, because with this Key West tournament, the Kelly McGillis Classics, we have doubled the number of girls teams by having non-contact. So. We'll see.
That's really good. You know, what I see as a trend is these girls, after they've been required, they've learned flag football in high school, is that their little sisters are wanting to play flag football. And so,
yeah.
And we see that in South Florida a lot, is that because the high schools are allowing them to play in high school on, throughout the county and between different high schools, that their little sisters are wanting to play. So dad and mom are saying, I can do this. I can start a league. I can teach my little daughter. So when she gets into high school, she's going to be the best darn flag football player there is, just like we would teach our kid to play softball and any other sport. Is that you see that it's just that progression. And then obviously those girls who are graduating high school, I found myself the same thing, actually, seeking out an organization. I had experience with a few different organizations before I found the IWFFA, but I was in college and I started my own team, and with the help of the IWFFA, we were able to bring a team down to the Kelly McGillis Classic in Key West. But, But still, a lot of colleges don't have it in their program. A lot of colleges, especially the larger colleges and universities, do have a intramural program, which means they play against themselves. So typically, you have two or three different sororities, and then you have maybe a couple other clubs that play against each other. But some of these big universities are holding high-level competitions against other colleges, so it's really intercollegiate, even though the school doesn't view it as intercollegiate, which is interesting. I mean, you have the Swamp Bowl, and I can only tell you I'm in Florida. I'm based in Central Florida, so I have my personal experiences with the Swamp Bowl, which is at the University of Florida, who I remember competing one year, and there were 25 different women's teams. I mean, that's, for me, outside of the IWFFA, that's crazy. How many teams? I had no idea that there were so many women playing flag football in the state of Florida.
Hey, Mary.
Yeah.
Mary, have you checked the chat room? There's a bunch of women who have. Sorry, not to interrupt you, but I'm sorry. There's questions on the board. Can you see the questions?
I am not able to. However, DJ, she's kind of running the soundboard. She's going to copy and paste everything. Technology of today. She's going to paste everything through my Facebook. So please keep sending questions, and I hope to be able to answer them eventually.
Okay, I can see. Yeah, somebody asked about when we mention non-contract, when we mention non-contact, are we referring to 7-on-7 screen block NERSA format of flag football? And I just want to say, yeah, we are, but with modifications, because we want these young girls to turn into adult women IWFFA flag football players. So our rules are 8-on-8, screen block. Now, with NERSA or the Florida High School Athletic Association, they begin the game on the 19-yard line. They don't have kicking to begin the game or after each touchdown is scored. We do. IWFFA does. And when it comes to scoring the extra point or the conversion, they're not allowed to kick. IWFFA girls and juniors, we have incorporated it so that you can kick at the 3-yard line for one extra point. You can also, and then for most of those rules, we basically follow what they have going. But it's posted on our rules. If you go to IWFFA.com, and if you click on rules, you'll see the women's, and then you'll see the girls' rules. So that takes care of that for Chewbacca.
Right. The reason why we encourage, why we change the rules a little bit, for the girls is because we want them to develop their kicking skills, and there's no way that they can do that unless, you know, they have a modified rule system.
I think,
right?
But you know, Mary, but you know, that blocking also, I want to just say one more thing about what I think is wonderful for the girl to learn is to take a block, to get pushed and hit the grass so that they learn to get up because the ball's live and they're still in the game. Not to stop like other sports. You know, if you get knocked down in softball or even basketball, you know, they, well, wait a second. I don't know about basketball. They keep going. With softball, they stop the action. And with the flag football, with our blocking rules, the game is still going. But Mary, and now that's changed because we have non-contact. But could we change the subjects to like that LFL, Lingerie Football League?
You just want to jump in for the best.
Well, I got the list in front of us, Mary. We've got 2, 4, 6, 7 topics. We just took 20 minutes for one. We got 1 hour. BJ was right. We should have taken 1.5 hours because we have not even touched on the lingerie football league. But are you ready for that one? Can we?
Sure. Well, why don't we let's breeze over the other two about the Kelly McGillis Classic. And you asked me to kind of talk about it since you're kind of heading it. And, you know, we want to disclose that you're in charge of that event down in Key West.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this coming year will be my 6th year. I discovered the IWFFA online, just a random search. And I joined the first year as a Loose Women, which means that you you don't belong to a team or you don't have a team or your team's not coming down to Key West, but you still want to play competitively. And that's what I did. Me and a friend went down and we joined the Loose team and we had a great time. And that's really where I learned contact flag. And I enjoy it and I feel like it's, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie. It's a small, we're on a small island. So everywhere you go, you see football players and you see them on the field. And then later on, you're out at, you know, a social gathering and you're able to kind of say, hey, look what this, you gave me this bruise and point off that big, you know, a big bruise on your arm. And, you know, you feel.
Hey, Mary?
Yeah.
Mary, how did it feel to be a Loose woman? And did you really understand when you signed up what it was all about?
I don't think you can ever really get that understanding until you are a Loose woman. I mean, it's tough. You literally show up a half hour, an hour before your first game, which is normally early in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning, and you say, what are you good at? Can you catch? Can you throw? Can you block? Who's good at what? Let's hope this works. So it's challenging, but at the same time, it's really rewarding because there is so much of a challenge. So it's fun. It's definitely, if you don't have a team and you still want to play or get the feel or go on vacation and play, I think I enjoyed it. The next year I went, I brought a team. That tells you something as well. And
Mary, that's funny because a lot of Loose women come back with full teams. And
yeah.
I remember when we were full, when the whole Loose woman concept came together, Key West has a women's flag football team. And in the early years, we started getting phone calls from individual women who didn't have their own team and they wanted to play in the tournament. So we just put them on the Key West team. And finally, it got to a point where there were so many Loose women. I decided to just form their own team, and what's the name of the team? And it was just automatic Loose Women's Team. And it's interesting because us flag football women, you know, Loose Woman is a derogatory, a negative remark in our society. But, Mary, you're a Loose woman. I'm a Loose woman. Once you're a Loose woman, you're always a Loose woman. I mean, these women who are willing to play in a tournament against teams who've been practicing for months or years, takes guts. I mean, it's not, and so, but anyway, somebody's saying on the chat board something about Duval Street. I bet that's her favorite part about the Key West Kelly McGillis classic. And also, guess what? We just got 30 more minutes added to our show. So, okay, so we could take a little more time. So when it comes to that LFL, we got plenty of time to talk about it. But listen, I want to say that it's a great concept, and I encourage every sport to incorporate a Loose woman's team because for us what happened, like I said, Mary came back with her own team, and you guys are coming back with two teams this year. So mm-hmm. One woman has turned into two teams of women, and also up there in where you are, not Orlando, but where are you? Up in Florida.
I'm in Melbourne. It's like Cocoa Beach area. It's where Ron Jones Surf Shop is. If you know any of the East Coast, that's where it's at.
You guys almost started your own league up there. So one Loose woman, two teams, almost her own league. Jesus. I mean, anyway.
But
I just want to tell people, the Kelly McGillis Classic, we've got over 30 teams registered, and we are still registering teams. And we're going to get... live radio and media video coverage from the WIS, the Women's Sports Radio, and anyone can just listen in and watch in. And any woman out there who wants to be a Loose woman, please, we encourage it. And there's still time to bring a team in. And every night it starts Super Bowl Sunday, and every night there's a party. A team from Scotland and Denmark is coming. We have more teams from Canada and Mexico. We might have an all-star team from Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden combined. But every night there's a party and there's some trainings for officiating, to teach women how to officiate, and even for players. So just go to our website, IWFFA.com. Mary, what do you say? Did you want to say any more about the Kelly McGillis Classic?
Well, someone just asked a question.
Okay.
And it says, compare your experience between Loose women and your two other teams. You know, I think I'm, it's such a cheesy thing to say, I'm in the South. I'm very blessed, and this is what we say in the South, is we're very blessed. We're very happy or you know, appreciative. I have an awesome coach, and he's really organized, and he does most of the reservations and putting down payments and da-da-da-da. You know, I really enjoy that aspect, that I'm a part of a team and that I've practiced with them and I have more of a I enjoy the team atmosphere. And, you know, partying with them and, you know, sleeping next to them and crashing, you know, just funny things that happen and you get to share over the years and years with them. However, being a loose woman, like, I think there's a lot of challenges as an athlete, as, you know, socially, literally you just jump on the field and you just, you hope. And there's a lot of confusion at first because most of the time you, if you're lucky, you've met them the night before at registration. But I wasn't that lucky, to meet my teammates. But it was really fun. Like, one of the girls was from Key West, and so we had really plain T-shirts, and she tie-dyed them purple, and it was just kind of funky, and it was definitely one of those off-the-wind things. Definitely fun, like I said, as Diane said, is that most people, after they become a loose woman, they will start their own team. I think it's kind of an initiation process. If you can go through that, you can go through anything, but you know, the loose women do pretty darn well in the tournaments as long as I've been around. They've been very, very close to winning the division against teams who've practiced for months and months and months. So there's typically a lot of very good athletes, and I think just the organization, by the end of the tournament, the team is a solid team because you've gotten used to each other, but it does take that time. So, you know, between loose women and my other teams, you know, I think it's comparing apples to oranges. It's different, but they're both a lot of fun, and they both have their pros and cons. Our friend from Iraq, Lex, just joined in. Earlier, Lex, we gave you a shout-out, and it's recorded so you can listen to it again, but we love you, and stay safe. She's in the U.S. Army, and she's over stationed in Iraq right now. She's going to miss the Kelly McGillis Classic this year, but she's definitely not going to be missed. She'll be in our hearts and in our beer glasses for her.
Mary, I was going to say, for me, the difference I see playing with a loose women and a regular team is that when you play on the loose women's team, everyone's an individual, and they came there just to play. And you don't have hot dogs, you know, like the individual player on a team maybe who causes disruption, who wants to be it all. And you don't have any animosity on a team. You know, some teams throughout your season, you know, you might build up resentment. We get emotional, what have you. That loose woman's team is clean, and it's everybody's there to play and have fun, and they support one another. And that's such a camaraderie. I think that's part of where the saying, once a loose woman, always a loose woman, on the field. And, yeah, so there's a huge difference also to coach the loose women's team, which I've done. And I make sure that everybody gets equal fair playing time, and that's very important. No matter, and we've had players who were excellente, really great, but you know what? Time's up. We got to make room for the other loose women. We switch teams, and we give everybody fair playing time. And when you think about it, the player who maybe not as strong as another player, the only way they're going to get better is if they get practice time on the field, and you want to build up their confidence. You don't want a loose woman feeling lousy because they're never going to come back. You want that player to be happy and has such good energy, so that they come back with two teams and maybe all start their own league. Hey,
yeah,
someone asked, did you read the chat question? Somebody asked me what was my favorite year for the Key West tournament. That's hard. Every year it's really a different flavor. This next one is going to be the 19th year. And if I had any idea, I don't know if I would have done all of this work and effort. It really is a tremendous, tremendous amount of energy that is put into this. You know, like right now I'm dealing with producing the tournaments, like our advertisements and our tournament program, the ball dropped. I had a person who was helping me, and last week, the last week of November, I'm told that they can't do it this year. So here I am. My deadline is in 3 weeks, and it always happens. So for me, I have those moments. But I remember in 2001, we had the 49 teams. We had every seven different countries. And at the time, I'll tell you the truth, everything was going on such a roll. You know, I don't think I could have appreciated those 49 teams, all those international countries, all the cities from around the United States, because it was so busy. And now I look back, 10 years later, and it's funny, human beings, we have so much at the moment to be grateful for, or to understand the excitement of what's going on, and we can't understand it or appreciate it. But I would have to say, I guess 2001. But you know what? I just want to say one more thing. Next year is going to be our 20th anniversary, and we're shooting for 5-0 teams. So maybe I'll be able to say it. Next year is going to be the best ever. Mary,
that's,
you see any questions on that chat board?
I'm still not able to get on, but BJ's trying to send me some questions whenever they come up. But, you know, if someone else has a question about the Kelly McGillis, go ahead and ask it. If not, we can move to the World Challenge, which has a lot to do with the Kelly McGillis, but it itself, you know, it has its own entity as well.
Are we ready for, Mary, the LFL, Lingerie Football League?
I thought on our agenda it's left.
Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Talk about it, we can.
No, listen. What do you want to talk about next?
The World Challenge.
It's
what is this? This year is going to be the third World Challenge. I actually competed in the first one.
Yeah, this is a hot competition. The idea was to give the athletes recognition in the tournament. Because maybe they're a great athlete and their team just didn't place in the playoffs or the championship. And this World Challenge, it's an all-star of Americans versus international players. And last year, the second year we've had this World Challenge. Now, the first year, I have to give a plug, Tylenol PM was our very first World Challenge sponsor. Last year was Pink Vodka. This year, we don't have a sponsor for the World Challenge yet. But you know what? It's we can't decide, Mary, if we're going to play it on the Saturday night or the very last game of the tournament. What do you think we should play it? If we have it Saturday night, I can't see a coach in the playoffs or the championship game, allowing their player to play, risk getting injured that Saturday night.
Yeah, I can see where you're going for, but at the same time, we want more spectators. I guess the last time we had it at a random hour last year, and that a lot of people went home. Some people, Florida teams, tend to drive home right after their last championship game on the
Sunday. Yeah, what's up with those Florida teams, man?
Hey, they're trying to save a buck. Not my team, but they're. I don't blame them. But
hey,
we've got great hotel fees as well this year.
Hotel? You mean the hotel rates?
Yeah, they're not that bad.
Oh yeah. Oh, listen. Key West President's Weekend. We got hotels starting at $149. We've got four hotels that's letting teams pack in the rooms. There is no limit as to how many can sleep in the room, and that is very cheap. $149. Okay. Chewback says she agrees with Diane, but Mary, what is she agreeing with, that the World Challenge should be played on Saturday night or Sunday night, the very last game?
Last year it was the very last game on Sunday evening, and we were discussing in our that we would meet it. We would move it to Saturday because we would have more participants, as well as the teams who didn't play, they would come and watch. But it's also Valentine's, isn't it? Wait, Saturday's Valentine's Day or is it Friday? I can't remember.
Valentine's Day is on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I'm in trouble already.
okay,
you know,
so...
you know, people might want to go out. Who knows?
Mary, maybe we should put that on the IWFFA blog to continue getting their input, because we'll do whatever the women want. They're guaranteed four games in this tournament. Maybe they're not going to have enough energy for that Saturday game because they'll spend all their energy on that big game, and then they got the playoffs or the championships on Sunday. We're going to have to put that on the blog, I think.
Okay,
perfect.
I'll put a poll on it. You guys can all, yeah, I'll put a poll up, and you guys all visit our blog, which is, it's a very long thing. I think it's, let me check before I tell you.
Well, they could go to our website and click on About the IWFFA, and there's the link.
There we go. Yeah, go there and check out our blog there. Also, if you're on our Twitter or Facebook, all of those links are up there. So check out our Twitter, and we have their blog link as well as on our Facebook page and our website.
Okay, and I'll just say to any sponsor out there, we're offering name recognition. Your name is connected with the World Challenge game if you want to sponsor it for this year. Mary, what do you say? Did we kill that World Challenge? Can we talk about the next topic?
Everyone's very antsy to talk about the LFL, and I don't blame you. I know you. I'm sure we all are. I know that my coach was, and I were. We had a great conversation about it, and. So we're going to get to it. I guess the next thing is we're talking about the Americans traveling to Scandinavia for competition.
Oh.
We're playing American flag football in Scandinavia.
Do you realize that in Finland they will not let the women play IWFFA?
I think that's a – is that a discussion we want to talk about at the moment? I had no idea, but, yeah, isn't that –
You know what? Actually, to be fair, we didn't put that up on the agenda, but that's something that women should understand. That's bull. But anyway, Scandinavia, we're going to do our IWFFA promotional tour next year. We're going back to Scandinavia and help build up more teams for that Nordic region. And it was pretty interesting when myself, the IWFFA, went to Scandinavia in the late 90s. It was, I went to a women's bar and started to talk to women to recruit them for this flag football team, which, you know, there was nothing. And so I remember, they all speak English. They all speak English. And I explained to them about this game, you know, it's like American football, and they thought it was soccer. And I'd say, no, not soccer. It's like American men's tackle football. And they thought it was with the tackle and the helmets. And I said, no, 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 no. To make a long story short, every woman I approached, it was a very, very long conversation. And I had to reel her in. Why in the world would she want to play something that she really does not understand, comprehend? And then when I explained to her that we want to use this sport to strengthen the women, empower them so that they would better compete with the men in the business and the political world. Ding! The light bulb went off, and I got another player. And so that Danish team from Denmark called the Copenhagen Mermaids, most of them were very bright women who understood the big picture, the political picture, you know. And they came out and... this is the first time they saw the football shaped like an oval, and they were throwing and catching the ball, and they looked quite nerdy. However, they did catch the ball, and they did throw the ball, and they play a very smart game. As a matter of fact, the Swedes, they have a special team called the Gothenburg Angels. I went to Sweden, and we had time for three trainings, and then I had to go. My airline ticket for America was about to come, and so all I could do was hand them a set of rules for the IWFFA. So the Swedes actually learned the game by just reading the rules. And to this day, every December, like right now, we are modifying IWFFA rules. I always make that phone call to Lana. She knows everything about our flag football rules. Interesting things that us Americans wouldn't even think about. So, like, why do we call the quarterback, Mary?
No idea.
Well, first of all, we play with eight players, and there's only three people back there. And I'll tell you, the reason why women's sports does things that doesn't make sense is because we automatically piggyback off of the guys' rules. And
right.
I think us women should be more thoughtful. Now, we don't have to change a quarterback to a tryback, but it's interesting. And, you know, when we say, you know, like we have a penalty for roughing, unsportsmanlike behavior. We took man out of it, and we call it sportship, you know. So you get an award for good sportship, and
you might
get a penalty for bad sportship. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Really how we started this conversation is talking about Americans going over to Scandinavia to play American flag football. So
yeah.
I know that we had a Washington, D.C. team, right?
Yeah, it was Fred Chapman, Blue Thunder, yeah. And they did great over there.
Yeah, they ended up winning the tournament. And what country was it at, Diane? Refresh.
They played in Norway, Oslo, Norway. And it was, by the way, it was their Pride Week, too. So they took a break. They took a break during their Saturday game so that the teams could march in the parade. It was pretty wild. And then they came back to resume competition after they marched in the parade. Did you see Sexy Lexi on the chat room?
Yeah, she said she's having difficulty because the internet's slow. Is she up there? Sexy Lexi's up there?
Oh, no. I'm reading. She wants to go there. She has lots of friends from Scandinavia from the last tournament she played in.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lex is a crazy girl anyhow. She makes friends with anyone. But really, I mean, that's what all, you know, the Telenovelas Classic is. You meet a lot of friends. You keep up with them on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn French to talk to my French-Canadian friends that I've made up there. So basically, this D.C. team flew over. It's the first American team that's actually gone out of country to play American flag football within the IWFFA. Is that right? Am I right on that?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
The D.C. team was the Blue Thunder team was the first team who left the country to play flag football in an IWFFA tournament.
They are the first full American team. Yeah, they went with a full team. There was actually half a team from Atlanta, Georgia, that went to Denmark in the early years, but they were half a team. And
right.
So Blue Thunder was, and I'll tell you something, these Scandinavians, you know, they travel an awful lot. First of all, that area, it's like, I guess, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. You know, when you, if you were to have, leagues in those, in that tri-state area. So they travel to their tournaments, and they come very often to our Key West tournament. And it was nice, refreshing for them to see this American team. They learned an awful lot. You know, one thing that they said about the Americans, oh, they're very physical. they are very physical because, the Scandinavians tend to use strategy more than brute strength. And Americans, depending on what region you come from, you know, Californians, the West Coast, like football players, they tend to be more of a passing game. On the East Coast, like Long Island, New York, forget it. They'll run over your grandmother. They are very physical. So interesting, but anyway, so Scandinavia and that Nordic region—it's a wonderful. That's one of the most proudest things that I am because we can say that IWFFA was the organization that introduced women's flag football in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Iceland. We had a team from Iceland too that. Guess what the name of their team was?
What?
Team Ice.
I was going to say Ice.
Well, you should have. No guts, no rule. Okay. So anyway,
there's a lot of opportunity. The Kelly McGillis Classic and other tournaments that we hold in the United States are a lot of, a lot of fun and a lot of good opportunity to play here in the United States. However, we have tournaments all over Scandinavia. I guess that's what we wanted to point out, that there's opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah, the Americans should they should travel to Scandinavia because it's a wonderful culture. And beautiful. I mean, they can go visit, the fjords, Stockholm, Copenhagen. I mean, when you go, these houses are hundreds of years old. Their cities are over 1,000 years old. And the people are very, very different. If you talk to have a conversation with them, they're more laid back. And I encourage our American teams to just go there. Beagle Daisies from Chicago, they're thinking about going to Denmark.
Really?
And,
I love
that. Yeah, the Beagle Daisies. You know what? Actually, listen, to be quite honest, so the Scandinavians, because they are, they just started playing in the late 90s, they're not as strong as our American teams. So for any team out there who's kind of like in the middle range or even lower, I say you should go to Scandinavia and see if you can take a championship. Mary, I wanted to, we were asked to do a tournament in P-Town next year, Provincetown. And we used to have an annual tournament up there in P-Town. I wonder if the viewers would like to us to pick it up and offer a tournament up there.
I was chatting to some of my Montreal friends. And they were very.
I'm sorry, Mary.
You're talking. Are you reading? Are you reading the screen and talking out loud?
Yeah, how weird can I be? I'm sorry.
It's only because I'm watching you on the video. I was talking to some Montreal friends that I've met. They're flag football players. We played against them, and they were saying that they were interested in playing up there. I've heard it's, beautiful in the summertime, and it's a great place to play. I wouldn't be, I would love to go. I mean, I'll go anywhere, really. But I think it's something that we can throw a poll up as well on our blog. Which the website is www.iwffa.wordpress.com. And if you didn't get that, we're going to – hopefully someone will throw it up on the chat room as well. But it's iwffa.wordpress.com.
Yeah, very. And we got a lot of people. You know what? We'll talk about that at our next board meeting, Mary. I think we should go that way, P-Town. It's a great, fun town, too, just like Key West. I think we were so smart, man, when we did these tournaments in some of these locations. I'll never forget, though, in the early years, I should share with the women, how many of these men's leagues, Mike Sheehan from the USFCL, Bill Williams from Nevada, and who else? There was another guy, Dick Shankoff. These guys told me that we needed them. We needed them. We should join their organization. Oh, man. That's another, we're going to say that. Okay.
We've got professionalizing the sport. There's one thing I know that, Diane, you're really into this idea since the beginning. Since if you guys go on our YouTube, you'll see our first video, and they talk about, Diane's interviewed on there. It's a really great video. It's about, 10, 12 years old, but, so it looks a little outdated, but it's a great film video, and it talks about how, even in the beginning of the IWFA, professionalizing the sport, and we're still not there. But, Diane, really, that's more your subject.
Listen, I don't know if the women are ready yet. I want to go through the back door when we professionalize women's flag football, where the NFL doesn't want us. They don't care about the women. They care about selling their merchandise.
That's assuming, but yes.
That's my
opinion.
Diane's opinion. This is my opinion. No, and women should run. Women should be in charge of their own sport. Nothing for nothing. Why in the world do we have so many leagues out there that the men run that the women fall under? Because women should learn to manage, learn the leadership skills. That's what it's all about, to better compete
right.
with the men in the business and the political world.
But why would we professionalize it? I guess that would be my question. Why not keep it? There's not professional men's flag football. Why women's flag football?
All right, I'll tell you why. What I envision, and I am the founder. I'm the idealist person. I'm not the. It really is a different flavor when you start something and you have these ideas in your head. I always imagine that, first of all, I'm going to tell you a few things. Dan Marino, how many years did he QB for the Dolphins? Just say many.
I have no idea. And I'm from South Florida. This is bad. I'm going to say 13 years since his number is 13.
Close. 18. 18 years. This guy, yeah, this guy was throwing the ball for the Dolphins. And you know what? For those 18 years, he denied giving the opportunity for another guy to throw the ball. I mean, he hogged up that position. And I don't see...
But he was good at what he did.
Not in his last year. That's questionable. His last performance, the playoffs.
Right, but, okay, so 17 out of 18 years, he did pretty darn good.
But think about what we're trying to do, Mary, with the IWFFA. We want as many girls and women to play, to become involved, to experience the excitement. If we're going to have me throw the ball for 18 years, I'm denying the chance for another QB. The point is this. I envision a professional league. First of all, where you were born determines what team you can play on. None of this selling and buying and... If you were born in New York, that's the team you're going to play for. And
wow.
You can only play, well, think about the fans. The fans know they can stay loyal. Their athletes are not going to move on them. They know they're going to be there for 2 years max. And only 2 years because you want to give the next younger players a chance to play. And you create a seed. Young girls, they're waiting their turn to make it into the pros. And they get paid salaries, $30,000 for 3 months. That beats the semi-professional women's tackle, nothing for nothing, because those women are paying to play. And in this case, we pay our players $30,000 for 3 months.
Okay, so you're saying that let's for instance, and I know Dan Marino is a guy, but I guess this is the best idea, that even though he may be the best pick, he can only stay on for 2 years. Even though
yes.
he might be, I mean, isn't that, but, I, okay, and why?
Because, look, first of all, sports today, especially in America, it's not sport, it's a business. And who pays for it? Every time you buy a hot dog and a soda, and you buy a ticket for the stadium, you got to have a credit card. The fans are ripped off because we want to keep Dan Marino and all these other athletes into these multi-million-dollar contracts. What's the highest-paid athlete today?
No idea.
But remember when that basketball player was making? Who was it? What's that big black guy? What's his name?
Shaquille? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think him. I think, and he played for the Miami Heat. Shaq. Thank you.
Yeah,
Shaq. Shaq, when, you know, people wanted to go see him because he's the most highly paid guy. But you know what? I want to bring sports back to sports, amateurism. And think about the Olympics, too. I know I'm going off tangent. But you know what? when our Olympics denies the college athlete the chance to play. Now they have the professional athletes play in those games. That's not fair, man. That's not...
Well, I think that's a little bit different. When we're talking about professionalizing, what is a professional... What is what is the main definition of a professional? Is that they make money. Well, at the same toke, a professional league, what does that mean? It's that the league makes money. I mean, how can the league not make money without, but with the players making money? So, in essence, at least in this country, you know, we really built our world on, you know, just the business and selling and buying, and the customers will
Mary, we're the ones who are going to professionalize women's flag football. We don't have to do what the other sports do. We could do whatever we want. By the
way,
do you see read the chat room. A lot of people are saying things.
I can't see it. I know. I'm sorry. My computer.
I think CJ's asking us if we need to add more time. Yeah, because we haven't even gotten to the lingerie football league yet. If we can get another half hour. Mary, is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's fine with me. Okay. Tell me, I know that, I'm sorry, let me go real quick. There's someone, BJ sent me a message saying that someone asked how much does it cost to sponsor the challenge game, and I think the best way to answer that is email Diane at iwffa@iwffa.com. So just email her if you have any questions. We'll, you know, we don't want to talk about that now, but you can email her with any other questions if we don't cover yours or you have specific sponsorship questions. Okay,
Mary, Mary, I'm going to read some of these things that the women have been saying on the chat board. Somebody said about Shaq. They stopped watching Shaq when he kept missing the free throws. And he still can't shoot free throws. And then somebody says, we will have to make them a regular show. Hey, yeah. And then somebody says, till sunrise. Huh, the sun is already up here. Off to work soon. Is that an Iraq player?
I don't know. Who does it say? Is her name?
Okay, listen. Somebody says, LFL, time, people. And then somebody says, leave Dan Marino alone, and let's go to the next topic.
I know who that is.
Yeah.
I know. They're probably a Dolphin fan. I know. I'm going to call that one right now.
Listen, I think.
All right.
Okay. Listen, Lingerie Football League, Mary, when you first saw. First of all, we should tell people if they don't know what it is. Do you want to describe it or should I?
Yeah, I think I might do a little bit less. I might be a little less unbiased or more unbiased. It's a league where women play tackle football and they're dressed in lingerie. And they wear a modified shoulder pads. They don't wear any, like I said, they don't wear any pants. They wear lingerie and a bra. And they wear a modified helmet, which I'm not sure. I think it might be a hockey. To me, it looks like a hockey helmet. And I think, you know, one of my friends who plays flag football, who also plays tackle football for Orlando, said that it might be like a junior helmet for tackle football, but anyhow, they wear like a face shield so you can still see their face, but still protect their face. I think that's a more unbiased way of describing their league.
All right, I'm gonna give my description. Mine is short and simple. First of all, everybody is a 36D. Everybody. So right away, I can't make the team because I don't have enough up there. Everybody's got breasts. Number one, and they have cleavage. They are, so that's the first thing you notice is that they're the uniform tops, and then their numbers. The numbers are so big, and they go on. I think it's the left breast. I mean, there's no they have to put it on the breast because there's no other place that
no,
number will fit. Because the bikini, the bottoms are just as small too. I mean, where are you going to put those numbers? So anyway. But this is when I first saw the LFL, the Lingerie Football League, to truly be honest, my stomach, I felt some strong reaction. And I wanted to be, and I didn't know exactly what it was that I was feeling. Was I jealous? Because here, these women, they're on national TV, and I want so much for our flag football to get national TV coverage. Was I, what was I feeling? And, you know, a couple of plays, I realized what I was feeling. So many of those women, some of them are very good athletes, by the way, very good athletes. Some of them are not. The ball they use, it's such a big ball, and I think, it's first of all, it's men's entertainment. And when the quarterback throws this big football, we use the junior size. When the quarterback throws this big football, she doesn't have such great control. The passes, yeah, she gets off some good passes, but the ball's not thrown beautiful like the men throw, you know, because they can control it. Anyway, I think that was done intentional. Oh, let these girls use this big football, you know, because it makes them look more dainty,
no,
or it makes them look, I think so, it's my opinion. But
well,
when
have you ever played with a bigger football? It's easier to catch. It's harder to throw, but it's easier to catch a bigger football.
It's harder to throw. So when you throw the ball, because it's harder to throw, it makes you look like you're not such a great QB. But listen,
right.
Listen, a lot of them are really good athletes, and a lot of them are playing really good football. And how many of them would dive whether to catch the ball or to tackle somebody, but every time they came up, those cameras, they couldn't show the women so close because they had to keep fixing their shirts, because they had to keep fixing the breasts from being exposed. And here I'm thinking, Michael Jackson's sister got in such big trouble for that one breast that was exposed, remember? And here, all they have to do is go to an LFL game, and they could do it all day. And but I'm feeling for the athletes. That's where my gut feeling came in, because I think these women want so much just to play football, but the only way they can get on this national TV is if they put on these uniforms, and I think that's degrading. Fine, you could do it if that's what you want to do. I want you to enjoy yourself, but I don't want you to sell yourself or compromise yourself, and that's
okay.
Why I had such strong feelings. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and I mean, I was very ready for that opinion, Diane. You know, and I'm a lot more, I guess, in the middle. I think I can tend to play both sides of the issue a little bit more. Like, when I first saw it as well, I was like, wow, if you look at anyone who's half naked in lingerie, not a sports uniform, but lingerie, you think someone's trying to get attention, or the organization is trying to get attention. It's clearly marketed and developed and targeted towards men. To be honest, most sports, you know, are, if you watch the NFL or other sports, because they tend to spend more money. And here we go again with, you know, business.
Money.
Exactly. You know, at the same time, I'll be completely honest, and I've actually talked to my coach about this, but I halfway considered possibly not really playing with the idea of trying out.
You're not playing, Mary.
I know. Well, you know.
You're not playing. Well,
coach thinks I can do it, but however, I'm not going to. But okay. Thank you, Jamie. My fiance is like, no.
Actually, Mary, you should play. You know why? You know what's going to happen? First of all, how comfortable do you think those uniforms are? Running up and down that field,
like
constantly fixing yourself so you don't expose yourself.
I agree.
Mary, somebody says on the chat room that if you go to pay-per-view, you get to see the girls fixing their bra. If you go to pay-per-view, can you believe it?
I didn't know that. Well, I think the year that, you know, every year before Key West, our team has a Super Bowl party because we end up leaving like the day of, you know, the day after Super Bowl or whatever. We have a team party. And I think the first year that the LFL tried, they actually were supposed to be on pay-per-view, and then they pulled it at last minute, and we were really disappointed because we were all ready to watch it. But, you know, if you watch the current, like at first I think it was really gimmicky, and I think that people, even men, you know, they're not stupid. They're saying, oh, duh, it's women, and how good can any athlete be? We're playing in that outfit. However, if you look at the more, especially if you follow them, I follow them personally on Facebook and Twitter, they're really into it, and they're really proud of themselves, and they're really athletic, and they do, there is that an element of sportsmanship, and I don't know. I think, like I said, I can see both ways, and I see that that the
Mary,
women, a lot of them have the women, you know, they have their hearts are in it. However, would it be there if they weren't getting paid to be there? Probably not. Most of them are models. Most of them are, you know, have some sort of modeling or actress. They pursue that career, but, you know, what can you do?
Mary, you can't play either because you don't have a 36D, okay? So, right there, you know what? Isn't that interesting? You know what? It's
no,
like,
I don't think that's
that,
true.
They all have big breasts.
No,
I don't
they
think
don't.
So.
I'm a little bit smaller, but
I saw
I don't
two
know.
Games.
No else,
everybody.
Here,
okay,
up.
All right. Maybe, the point is this. You know what? They give this subliminal image of what a female football player should look like. And this is not the real world. I am not that shape. It's the same thing with young girls in our country. They look at these supermodels. They think they got to be super skinny. It's not healthy. It's not natural. What's natural is whatever body size you are. And but listen, they discriminate from a lot of women in playing in their league because truly, okay, Mary, if you have a 36D and you are 20 pounds overweight, you think they're going to let you play on that field?
No.
I don't think so.
You know, definitely as an adult, for adult viewing, I think that there is a level of entertainment that is, I think as an adult in a free country, I think it's allowed. Probably not there in Iraq, because not too much is allowed over there. But over here, I'm shouting out to Lex again because I love her very much. But there's a level of entertainment. However, I definitely see your point, and I understand your point of view where not only are we teaching our kids, but we're teaching every other person in the mainstream who doesn't, you know, tends to follow the herd, that they have this expectation that all athletes have to look like this. Or they might think that women in sports, I mean, there's a lot of things that they can think. They can think that women in sports are a joke because they view the LFL as a joke. I think there's a lot of, I think that the LFL has really opened up a lot of discussion, and I think that's healthy for us to have this discussion. If anyone else has any questions or points of view, we'd love to hear it. And Diane, if you want to keep monitoring that, since I don't know why I can't get into
it. All right.
The
it says Sexy Lexi, of all people, no. Talk about the LFL.
That's
so
right.
I actually. Oh, wait a second. I got to go back up there. Let me see. We got a bunch of sayings here. I told you the pay-per-view, LFL girls fixing their bra. LFL is the only professional women's football league in the USA. Unfortunately, they are not getting paid to play sports. That's from Chewbacca. And that's interesting, Mary. Did you hear what this person said?
Yeah, you know,
They get paid to play, but they did.
I was led to believe that they were paid as models. And, like, how they first recruited was they went through modeling agencies. You know, that's not the best place to find an athlete. However, look at their league. And honestly, I would love to take our team or even hire, you know, one of the Division One girls or teams that play on Division One in our tournament and put them up against these girls in pads. I would love to see, and I know what's going to happen. I mean, they're going to get creamed because the size matters.
Listen, Mary, our line women are going to put on those bikinis. And, okay, all right. Listen, someone else says, I don't actually think I'd play LFL because I'd end up getting cut up so bad. I'm too aggressive. That's from Sexy Lexi. And here's another one. You would beat up those bitches down into the ground. And then Sexy Lexi says, damn right, bring the pain. And then LOL, Diane is about to kill Mary, wait and see. My shape is not ninja, LOL ninja. Is that between athletic and average? And then I don't understand about the Power Rangers. It says, or between Athletic and Power Ranger. Is there something with going on with the Power Ranger?
I guess they're talking about body types, I think, and they were comparing it to ninjas and Power Rangers. I know what they're talking about.
All right. But you know what? Listen, this LFL does get people talking. I just feel for the female athletes, nothing for nothing, because I think a lot of them are out there wanting to play so bad. Like me, when I was a kid and there was no football teams, not even softball teams, I'm Lutheran. I'm not Catholic. I never joined the CYO, Keithless Catholic Youth Organization. I didn't have organized sports available to me until I was in high school. And, you know, then I started playing my sports. But it's sad when you really want to play something and you're denied. And I think that this LFL kind of denies these heavy set women. Nothing for nothing, Mary. But
well,
you think our line women?
A professional sport is going to do whatever they find is going to make them money, and their business model is very clear. They're targeting for it's a more entertainment. I don't view it as I don't view it as equivalent to the NFL by any means. However, some of these girls would aspire to be possibly, but most of them I feel as they're doing it to pursue their career as well, which probably doesn't involve tackle football. You're saying that these women are joining because they don't have to play anywhere else. Well, first off, there used to be a tackle football team in Tampa, which there's a Tampa Lingerie League team there.
Oh.
There is a tackle football league, a semi-pro tackle football league in Miami, and there's a lingerie league as well in Miami. So I don't know if that's necessarily correct, because if they wanted to play tackle football and that's the only way they can play, then I think they're going about their research a little bit wrong. They're doing it for other reasons. And whatever the reasons are, either they have – it's tough because I can see both ways. But I definitely – it's fun. It's entertainment. You have to take it for what it is. It's entertainment. It's not serious football. It's fun football as playing backyard – football is in your bikini, it's not tackle football as Americans know it.
Okay, listen, there's Tampa Breeze and Miami Caliente, and there's Miami Fury is the tackle. I guess Tampa Breeze and Miami Caliente are the LFL teams.
Yes.
Okay. Why do they call it? Why do they call it semi-pro football for the
That's
tackle?
A great question that I don't have, but probably because they don't make money, I'm guessing.
They have to spend their own money. They have to pay money.
Oh, yeah.
They have to put up their own money to play.
Yeah. Mhm. That's probably why they're not pro. I mean, if it was pro, I think at one point they tried to call it pro at least a couple years ago, but. That's kind of neither here nor there. But really, is the LFL not only hurting or helping women's football or women's tackle football or women's, but in general, women's sport? Are we really, if we continue to allow this, is everyone going to think that all women's sports are a joke? Or are people going to be able to separate the idea of entertainment versus sports? Sports entertainment,
well,
I think there's a lot of questions.
Mary, I'll tell you one thing that the women should learn to do and we don't do, and the men do it. Women should bond together no matter where they are, no matter what they do, and then you'd be surprised how much further we would advance as women. We should go and support the LFL because they're women. LFL should support us because we're women. I mean, listen. We have an organization down here called Girls Night Out, and that's Key West, Florida. And one woman a few years ago started inviting women out one night each month. This organization, it doesn't cost anything to join, but once a month they go to these places, these venues, And they're up to this little small island, Key West, 2x4, 2 miles by 4 miles. They get 650 women in one venue. Now all of a sudden, all the businesses are contacting these women. They have status now. And I think us women, all sports, whether it's flag football or if it's tackle or if it's softball or baseball, whatever women are involved in, we all need to join probably that Women's Sports Foundation that Billie Jean started, and we really should not be jealous of one another, be competitive with one another, but support one another, because then great things like that would happen.
Yeah, of course. I guess I'm just kind of...
Sometimes, are you thinking of something else, or you just don't know what
to
say?
Well, I'm thinking that we should all, like, sit in a circle and by a campfire and sing, but that's
kumbaya.
That's the word that I have. Well, yeah, kumbaya is probably appropriate.
Kumbaya?
Yeah.
No,
so,
it's
I mean,
true.
Really, if we're going to be having a discussion, if you think the LFL is bad for sports or bad for football, what about women's beach volleyball? I mean, they're in the same amount of clothing.
Right, we know why that sport boomed, but you know what? They kind of get away with it. It does make sense. If they're going to play on the beach, that they should wear bathing suits. They kind of snuck under that one. I mean, that's not so blatant. It makes perfect sense why these.
I would love to play some beach football, flag football, and we all wear bikinis. I'm down with that. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I know. I just think that. You know,
do you realize, Mary, you're too young to know this. You're the a younger generation. But let me tell you, what sports was accepted for women? Think about it. Any sport where the uniform had a skirt. I'm talking about golf, bowling, tennis. Those are women's sports, accepted ladylike women's sports. You know, even when they played baseball during World War II, you know, that Rita Verón, those
right.
women,
I
they had
that.
To wear, yeah, they had to wear skirts to be accepted. And I guess today's day and age, because of the sexism, the level of pornography, that it's skirts are no longer, they're too long. They got to go for bikini and string bikini and all that stuff. So let me see. We've been on the meeting. Basketball is, oh. Basketball is now losing some great teams. They are dwindling.
Yeah.
Is that right? Are we talking about professional women's basketball?
Yeah, I think they're talking about the WNBA.
See, if we would support the women's sports, buy tickets and go see them. But
yeah. Well, you know, I think there's some interesting views. You know, yes, we need to be supporting one another. However, we're only 50% of the population, and we want to encourage, and we're kind of going off on a different subject, but I see that it's important for us to appeal to both genders when we're talking about the success of a women's sports organization. Because, like I said, we're only targeting half. If we're only targeting women, we are only targeting half of the population, which I never like
you
to
know,
cut my kids in half.
Mary, I remember in the 80s when they were going to professionalize women's basketball, and it didn't take then. Every decade, this happened. The ABA, finally, in the 90s, they were successful. They got women's basketball professionalized, and soon after, the men's basketball. So let's see, WABA. And then the men's basketball decided they were going to have their own professional women's basketball at the same time. And that was instead of the WABA, it was the WNBA. And all the work that was done that the women did for the WABA to make it happen, can you imagine, finally they reached the level, it's professional, and it gets snatched away from them because here comes the men. The NBA offers the basketball players, these women, about $10,000 more and they jump ship and they go over to the WNBA. And I remember when the WABA folded, and that was sad. That was sad. But I just wanted to say that, and I also wanted to say, you know, 100 years ago, the men's sports got a chance to grow, and they didn't have to fill in huge stadiums that they expect the women's sports to fill in. Think about it. You know, Madison Square Garden, you know, the New York Knicks, they could fill it up because they've been existing for how many years, they develop a fan base, et cetera. So
yeah.
Now when you put any team in there that's not the New York Knicks, they're not. They're going to have a hard time. So, you know, you got to be fair and honest. Women's sports should start small. They should start with smaller venues, smaller stadiums, and they can't expect to make the mega bucks that the men should, and they shouldn't either. You know, it
right.
should be more natural. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, right,
so,
of course. Well, I mean, I'm not exactly, like I said, when we're talking, we got to go back to the LFL, but focusing on women's football, is it helping or is it hurting women's football?
The LFL?
Yeah.
Do I think it's helping or hurting? It's helping it. Listen, it's helping it because a bright person realizes what we just discussed, that they're selling something, but the not-so-bright person understands that this is what women's football is all about, and they think it's a sexy thing. And, you know, it gets a little dangerous then, too. You know, that's why I like to bring it back to the IWFFA. When we say loose woman, we're thinking about this really tough woman who's got the guts to play a tournament, never practicing with her team like the other teams in a tournament. And the rest of the world thinks of loose woman as a prostitute, whatever, you know. And this thing with the LFL, I think it's going to start to, it might get a reputation. If it's so successful, it's going to give that subliminal message and, you know, brainwash people. And, you know, so, but I think it's a good thing anyway because it's media exposure. And here we are, we're talking about it. And I feel for these women who really don't feel comfortable in those uniforms. I mean, you got to admit, they're not practical. Those uniforms are not practical.
No, I agree.
Especially if your number, especially Mary, if your number is double digits. If you have a single digit number, it'll fit. But if you got two numbers, double digit, you know.
Oh, you're crazy. You know, BJ, and she hosts the Blog Talk Radio, the Women's Football Talk, sorry, radio show on here. She's allowing us this open mic night. She actually said that she doesn't pay attention to the LFL. She doesn't even talk about it on her show. That's a pretty good way that we haven't really discussed is kind of ignoring it because, you know, if you ignore it, then it, what is it, I guess, you know, the less attention we give something, the less support we give it. So sometimes that might be the best route of viewing things as well. What do you think?
Well, Mary, I just want to say that what I love about our organization, IWFFA, we play 8-on-8, semi-contact. We block from the shoulder to the waist. We kick for field goals. We kick for extra points. We do fake kicks, defensive rush. Actually, I think, I wonder why more tackle women do not play IWFFA. Every tackle woman, when she decides that she's taken too many hits, she should come try out the IWFFA and bring their skills. You know, in the 2000, 2001, that's when women's tackle had this big rush. And we had all those teams. I think part of the reason why our tournament in 2002 went down in numbers of teams was because, some of these teams went to tackle. And everything happens the way it's supposed to. I was jealous then, too, because, you know, the tackle had this agreement. Once the player signed to play tackle, they couldn't play. They couldn't interfere with it. They were committed to, what, 5 practices a week? They couldn't play in other tournaments, and so they took players away from us. However, when they came back, they really, these tackle women increased the skill level for women's flag football. And you see where it is today, Mary.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It is phenomenal.
I mean, watching these D1 teams play is something really enjoyable. I mean, it's like watching an NFL game. I think that the 8-on-8 rules and these ladies are trained and they're built for this contact football. You see, I think you definitely see a body build difference between D1 and D3 and D4 in our tournaments. I mean, clearly, you just have bigger built, more muscular, taller athletes in the D1. And, you know, they're definitely shaped, and it's a lot of fun to watch. I watch almost all of the games I can, but it's just something really to watch. And those tackle teams really succeed in our league because they're able to implement a lot of the skills they learned in tackle and in play in a flag, and it keeps them in shape as well. I think it's great for the off season as well.
But you know what? But you know what, Mary? Listen, our rules, because you need blockers, you need receivers, you need passers, you need running backs, you need defenders. There's a lot of different skills. You know, think about the different shapes and sizes of the athletes that we use on our game. Many different sizes. And you don't alienate any woman because of her shape or size. So we have the opportunity to include any woman. As a matter of fact, all these years I've been doing flag football, over 30 years, I have never seen any player where we could not find a position for her. There was one woman I'll never forget in Denmark. Her name was Joey. She was small and petite, so I figured, okay, let her be the halfback, and we'll protect her. But she kept dropping the ball. But then we found her a position on the defense, and she was great, you know. So there was a position for her. But it was, and that was my hardest player to find a position for, but still with our rules, you know, it's something to be said how wonderful it is that we can include as many different types of female athletes. Hey, Mary, I think time-wise, I think we got 1 minute left on the show. Is that right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think you're right. And
oh.
I guess, thing I want to remind. Go ahead, Diane.
No, I was going to give my gratitude to BJ, to Women's Football Talk, and, you know, that – oh, wait a second. We got 30 minutes, Mary. We got 30 minutes more.
No, Diane, yeah, we're about to wrap up.
No, we have 30 minutes.
Well, why don't we wrap it up, though, Diane? Is that all right with you?
Okay. Are you do you have work tomorrow, early tomorrow morning?
Sure. I work for myself. But I just wanted to let everyone know I want to thank them for listening in. You can listen to this again. Also, check out our website for more information about the IWFFA, right? IWFFA.com. That's our website. On Facebook, search IWFFA. If you are under 18, check out our girls' IWFFA. And if you're over 18, which is the rest of us, check out IWFFA on Facebook as well. Follow me on Twitter. I'm the representative, and I'm doing most of the chatting on Twitter at IWFFA. Really, just what is it? IWFFA. 5 letters. Pretty easy to remember. Diane?
Also, somebody says somebody wants to know if there's any teams in Jersey. There used to be the New Jersey Cafe Flag football team. But if anybody out there wants. Yeah, you know what? That's what the IWFFA, we're the central organization for women's flag football. We've turned women on to flag football teams in their areas, and all you have to do is email us, and we'll tell you where there's a flag football team near you. And I just want to say how grateful I am to BJ and to the Women's Football Talk and to all the women who produce shows like this, because it gives the women an opportunity to share their thoughts and their opinions. Where else could we have rambled on about the LFL, Mary. I don't know. I don't know where else we would have been given the venue to say what we've said tonight. But I encourage women to experience the excitement. Check out the IWFFA. Definitely download, check out on YouTube our videos, or go to our website and see some really great flag football. So,
yeah, we would love to see you out in Key West, down in Key West, which is in February. It's the second weekend in February. We would love to see new teams or additional loose women. And, of course, if you are there, make sure that you introduce yourself to us. My name is Mary and Diane. We would love to meet you, especially if, you know, the New Jersey girl or anywhere else. We'd love to put a name to the face, or face to the name. Is that how they say it?
Mary, I don't know. This is the first time I'm doing this. How do we end this segment of the radio talk? Does somebody else pick it up for us?
Yeah. We'll just go ahead and sign out. And thanks for joining us.
Oh. So if we hang up, it's not like we're dead air time. They're gonna play commercials once we hang up.
Back to work. We're going through a commercial break. No, thanks so much for joining us, guys.
We could do some IWFFA commercials. Wait a second before we leave. Let's do some IWFFA commercials. Once a loose woman, always a loose woman.
We gotta
ask DJ. Mary, come on, man. We gotta make some commercials next time. We gotta prepare better for this show. If they'll have us on again, Mary, we gotta do some commercials. I got some great ideas. Okay.
Deal.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thanks everybody for tuning in and sending us those chats. You kept us live, and hope to see you out there on the field. Take it easy
now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.